Faith was born and grew up in Northern California. She is the first of five children spawned by Mrs. V and I, and the first grandchild on both sides of our families. She had a stable upbringing in a stable household with two parents that have no criminal history or future, and no history or future of drug or alcohol abuse. Already, riveting stuff. Faith was taken to every required doctor visit throughout her childhood. By age three, she went to preschool a few days a week for a few years. Grades K through three in one school, then grades four through eight in another right across the street. During grade seven and plus, Faith began to exhibit problems with discipline in her studies. However, I was very much aware at the same time at that age, being bored and more focused on drawing than school, so I didn't think much of it. Mrs. V, the model student all her life, was much more concerned. Freshman year of high school was very rough, and by the end of it, Faith requested to be homeschooled. So we signed her up with a program that allowed her to complete high school mostly online, with some on-site labs. There was still a great deal of struggles, and by junior year, she was regularly lying about completing her homework. That's a bad thing. You don't want to have a kid lie about their homework. Trouble begins. We can start to see the cracks. We can start to see the story form, the seed planted. The Gunt tree will be born. When she was 16, I discovered she had an online relationship with a YouTuber known as Jeebs. When I found out that Jeebs is 21, I emailed him to tell him to stay away from my daughter. I tell him not to contact her again, and that if she contacts him, to ignore the requests. Problem solved. Or so I thought. We would not find out until summer 2020 that Jeebs and Chris Kerr were in fact the same person. More on this later. However, despite these academic failings, she's sociable, kind, and well-liked by everyone who knows her. In our care, she does not use drugs other than medical cannabis products after she turned 18 and got a prescription. Admittedly, it was not our favorite of her choices. If she used any other illicit drugs, it was not in our house, where she did spend most of her time. And we never saw psychological signs indicate otherwise, not to mention that something like meth that is very easy to recognize by the smell. Mrs. V, having worked in a hospital ER and me spending time working for a bank branch in a low-income inner-city region of North Sacramento, the burnt plastic smell of meth is fairly unmistakable and difficult to conceal. So already, folks, we're learning that Mr. and Mrs. Vickers, Mr. and Mrs. V, Mama and Papa V, good, hard-working people, raising a family, Northern California, completely away from the degeneracy of Southern California, imposing strong moral values on their children. So what could possibly go wrong? What could have possibly brought us to this situation? For that, we have to fast forward to February 2020 and take us through June 2020. Faith barely graduated high school, based solely on an inability to want to do the required work. She has no learning disability and is quite capable of assimilating knowledge quickly and easily. I had to spend 8 to 10 hours a day every day on the final few months of school to make sure that she was doing work and would actually graduate high school. Obviously, we now understand that during the final semester of high school, Faith was basically on Discord all night and attempting to sleep all day. Of course, COVID did not help the situation. Now, May 30th. Official high school graduation. We had family over and watched a pre-recorded ceremony, as high school graduations should be. All are in agreement that it was pretty lame. And ultimately, my heart goes out to all 2020 graduates. That was a shitty way to celebrate a transition into adulthood. Marvelous Matthew Vickers. Look, his heart is huge. His heart is absolutely huge. He cares about those kids afflicted by COVID who were not able to celebrate their senior year. Good man. strong moral ethic. June 20th. Faith comes to work with Mrs. V and I at our coin shop. Midway through the first day, she asks her mother if she can fly to L.A. for a week. Her story was as follows. Now, Faith had two close friends throughout school, M, who's a girl, and T, who's a boy. As the story goes, T moved into an apartment in Pasadena with a girl who was recently killed in a car accident. M was going down for the memorial, no funerals were allowed in the area due to COVID, and both M and T had asked Faith if she could make it down, as the three of them had not seen each other for quite some time outside of online. Faith offered to pay for her ticket, and we gave her some spending money. This was her first trip anywhere as an adult and essentially on her own, but we figured baby bird has got to learn to fly sometime. There's a much longer story to this for later, but obviously her trip to LA had nothing to do with a dead girl. Oh no. What's going to happen now? I'm riveted by this. I'm captivated. M was in Michigan during her trip, and T lived in Reno and had a much, very much living girlfriend that he was not living with. So the plot thickens. The story unfolds. Someone's lying. But why? We must find out more. The truth, which was not discovered, we had no reason to doubt her until nearly a month later, was that she went to hook up with Ethan Ralph and stayed with him at Dax Herrera's home. This discovery was made not by her admission, but by her phone tracking, which was on the whole time. We knew the address she was staying at. It had changed from T's apartment in Pasadena to M's cousin's house in L.A. Once Mrs. V and I had reason to believe she'd been lying to us for some time, we did some brief investigating. A simple free public record search for grant deeds revealed that the house was owned by Dax Herrera, who we quickly discovered was Dick Masterson. And then that whole story came together pretty quickly. I know if I found my daughter in the company of Dick Masterson, I would ask lots of questions. Like, what really happened at UCB to get you laughed at in the green room, Dick? Was it because you flashed your penis and people made fun of it? Because that's the story that they tell. But we need to find the truth, Dick. That's going to be a pinpoint for another day. Teeny weeny Dickies. We need to know more. But to make up a dead girl to emotionally goad your parents into unwittingly sending their daughter into the arms of her almost middle-aged simp boyfriend. That's some Scott Peterson shit. Now on June 28th, Faith returns home from her LA trip. June 28th to July 2nd, she barely came out of her room, up all night, sleeps all day. The sign of a true addict of something we don't know yet, but the sign of a true addict. Up all night, sleeps all day, never exits her room, on Discord all the time. MSNBC once ran a little story about Discord, about how it's used to radicalize young people for the alt-right. Neo-Nazis, pro-fascists, people Ethan Ralph associates with, really makes you think, gets the noggin a-jogging about what kind of stuff was happening on there. Now on July 2nd, Faith asks if she finally comes out of her room and does some cleaning or anything to contribute to the household. She can fly to Virginia to go to a baby shower for her friend Adri. Well, we don't know who the hell Adri is, and we know there's no way in hell Faith has the money for a trip to Virginia, not to mention that after she turned home from L.A., she hadn't lifted one finger to help around the house, and her room was quickly becoming a freaking biohazard. We said no to this request. Now, on July 9th, Faith runs away in the dead of night. Her oldest brother, B1, age 15, and I discover that she's not at the house. But sometimes she goes on a morning walk, but I have a pit in my stomach that tells me this is not the case. I get in our vehicle and I go looking for her while B1 reaches out to friends online. Faith has turned off the tracking on her phone and has all of us parents and brothers blocked. B1 receives feedback from L, an online friend and former boyfriend, who confirms that Faith did in fact leave home, and she left a note taped to her desk chair. The note states that our family has a toxic dynamic and that she's moved to Virginia to help her friend Adri raise her baby. She plans to get a job and go to school, still wanting to become a teacher. wanting at that moment, telling her parents that she wants a noble profession of being a teacher. Put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. Now, I sent her some generic email on the lines of, you're an adult and you're going to do what you're going to do. We think it's a bad idea, but what if? And after the adrenaline wears off and we have some time to chew on what's been presented to us, Mrs. V and I know that her story just doesn't make any sense. We can only find one or two girls who could be known as Adri in her Facebook friend list, but none of them are pregnant. And no one lives in Virginia. Now, on July 10th, having a day to digest all this new information and fearing that this is all maybe a poorly thought out romantic interest, we send a few new emails to Faith explaining that she had taken her phone, our property, her computer, our property, our special Disney suitcase. Sorry. That suitcase is very important. We need to talk about the justice for that too. Hell, she even took her little brother's shoes because she couldn't find her own in the mess she'd created in her room. And honestly, that made us laugh a little because her brother was pissed. Who steals her little brother's shoes? And the value, the things that broke, or the things that were taken, broke the felony level for California criminal theft liability of $950. And that we were going to press charges and basically treat her like an adult. Now, this was a bluff, of course. But we knew, unhoped, that it would scare Faith and draw out an overly protective and young and thus immature boyfriend to whom she had fled. Needless to say, our gambit actually paid off, and with 5 minutes of our threat, we were met with a very aggressive email from an anonymous and almost certainly male person whose email name showed up as simply Rad Roberts. And this was his message. Now pay attention to this, folks. This is, of course, a question of the day. This is, of course, a question of the hour. Who is Rad Roberts? Who, of course, is Rad Roberts? But we need to find this out by diving in and truly, truly exploring this. Let's go back to it. This is the email verbatim. You don't know me, but I'm going to let you know something. I know about you abusing your daughter. I have money. I will pay all her legal fees for the bullshit you try to start. Although the cops will laugh you out of the station, most likely. I am very well known online, and you will be known too by the end of this. There is proof of your abuse, and many were told about it when it happened. Test me and find out. Keep threatening her with bullshit. And find out. Don't play with me or you will regret it. You're using it to punishing people around. You won't be pushing Faith around anymore. It can get as messy as you want to make it. It's up to you. Threatening stuff from an anonymous Rad Roberts. But who could it be? Who potentially could it be? Who would be the person to write Mr. Vickers? Marvelous, majestic, magnificent, magnanimous, Mr. Vickers. A good, hardworking father, and say such horrible things. Who would brag about being an e-celebrity that's very well known online? Who does that? As a person who has some internet celebrity to them, I never brag about being an e-celebrity. That's just weird and narcissistic, sociopathic possibly, definitely psychotic. But who do you know, dear viewers, dear audience? Who could potentially be making those claims? Who do you know that thinks they're a big thing on the internet? We must continue. Now, I will post the remainder of my conversation with Mr. Roberts in the privilege information section on this site. But there are two things I know. First, there is no proof that I abused anyone. It never happened. And secondly, obviously, I was dealing with some young internet star. Well, I got one out of two correct. In an anonymous email, Rad Roberts all but told us exactly who he was. As Faith was too naive to lock up her Facebook account before she left, and there was Ethan Ralph's smiling face, linked to his site, linked to his Instagram, behold a picture of a car in front of a restaurant. There was a car with Virginia license plates, and a Google search of the restaurant showed us its location in Richmond, Virginia. Not sure exactly how long that mediocre detective work took, Well, then he screwed up a line here. Background check, looking for a sex offender, and thankfully nothing came up. Or I would have been to VA and back to Cali before anyone found his body. But it's not like there's a clean criminal background, as many who are reading this already know. The first thing that stuck out, of course, was his age. Certainly Faith wouldn't have chosen a 34-year-old man as a love interest. Perhaps Faith was indeed helping Adri raise the baby, and it was just good friends with this low-level e-celebrity who had come to think of her as a little sister. Denial is a fantastic thing when you're trying to think of the best for your little girl. Before we could call him out, Faith was still blocking us. We wanted a little more proof that she was with him. That was the night of the Killstream karaoke. I could not stomach to watch, but I had some friends monitor. Well, Mrs. V and I went to my mother's house, where my brother and his family was visiting, and I got handily tanked, not a common practice for me, while Mrs. V got emotional support from my mother, her mother, and her sister-in-law. Of course, seeking the family dynamic as a way to get through these hard times. Again, strong moral family values, almost conservative, if you will, which is kind of rare for California. Now, July 11th, incidentally, this was Mrs. V and my 22nd wedding anniversary. We pretty much forgot about it. By morning, my friends had sent me links to the archive stream with timestamps of Ralph saying Faith's name several times. And then the coup de grace, Faith singing some song from an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I admittedly mistook it for a Fiona Apple song because music is not my thing. Well, that confirmed it. So I made sure Ralph knew that we knew who he was and that we knew Faith was with him. Also, incidentally, just as a side note, Faith loves to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer with a halfway crook. That was one of the things that they did together all the time. So him dropping that nugget in here is interesting. I just want to point that out. Now, July 12th through the 30th. Lots of drama that will be later revealed in sessions as we maintained a fairly regular communication with Faith and uneasy at best communications with Ralph. Faith shared a lot of truths with me personally during this time, many of which were later revealed to all be lies, including that Chris Kerr was harassing and stalking her, and revealed that Chris and Jeebs were the very same person. I asked her if she wanted me to deal with it, and she declined. It is important to note that as a show of good faith, a pun, she had tracking enabled on her phone and the whole time she was in Richmond. Though, to be fair, Mrs. V was intent on calling the police to do a welfare check the second her tracking was turned off, a fact both Faith and Ralph were aware of. Now, my question then becomes, when Ralph came back and had that wellness check done to him last week, was that Mr. Vickers calling it in? We don't know who did it. We don't know. Very epic that it happened. Very interesting that it happened. Makes me wonder if that was a way for him to disrupt the stream a little bit. Again, you're dealing with a man who's got very little to lose and he's very pissed off. I'm just saying. Anyway, let me get back to this. Now, it says here, at no time did Ralph attempt to keep Faith from communicating with us, despite there being some fairly nasty exchanges between he and I. This is not me coming to his defense, just stating a fact. I'm too often seeing people chasing the wrong threads on both of these characters when there's plenty of real shit that can be focused on. And I've seen that myself as well. July 31st, Faith tells me that Chris is harassing her and asks me to contact his dad. The night turns into a clusterfuck of nonsense where I reach out to Chris's dad and he learns that Chris was dating Faith as a minor. And he basically kicks Chris's ass, takes his phone, changes the Wi-Fi password in the house. But yet Chris continues to message Faith, and Faith continues to send me screenshots of the DMs, which indicate a clearly unstable young man, regardless of Faith's truth or lies about him. This goes on for a good part of the night, ending with me filing a police report against Chris for the continued harassment. I tell Faith to do the same. Now, pay attention to that, though, because there's a piece of this here with these messages she's sending to her dad that tie into some things she sent Chris. Now, Monday, August 3rd, the Aid drama. Faith pitches to us that Ralph used her to cheat on Aid. The story looks legit, and obviously I'm motivated to convince her. Faith apparently was very angry at being used by Ralph, and she tells us that she's out. Mrs. V and my hearts sing a merry song. Sure, I wish she would have realized all the other stuff was wrong with our freak show relationship, but I'll take a win wherever I can at this point. I transfer $800 to her bank account, and I book her a room at the Richmond Westin, 4 stars, for like $140 a night. Richmond is not without some charm from a fiscal perspective. To check out on Friday the 7th, extra money for food and entertainment. Faith agrees and stays and says that she will leave Ralph in the morning. My instructions to her are not to tell Ralph where she's gone and to block all contact with him. She agrees. Tuesday, August 4th. We ask Faith if she wants us to buy her a ticket home or if she would rather that we come out and pick her up. Faith says that she wants us to come and get her. At this point, we cannot get away from work until Thursday night. I propose that we pick Faith up from Richmond and then go to D.C., take 3 nights at the Trump Hotel, see some sights. Neither Mrs. V or myself have ever been to D.C., and spend some time reconnecting and working some shit out before we bring her back home and get her help for her depression and anxiety. Faith enthusiastically agrees to the plan. We buy 2 tickets to arrive in Richmond on Friday afternoon and 3 tickets to fly back from D.C. on Tuesday. We book our own room at the Westin for Friday night and transfer another $200 into Faith's account to extend her own checkout at the Westin until Saturday. I then book a room for all 3 of us at the Trump Hotel in D.C. for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night, checking out Tuesday and flying home Tuesday afternoon. That was the plan. That sounds like a badass trip. I'm just saying. I'm saying, it sounds like a bit of a badass trip, doesn't it? Right? It's one of those things. We're totally getting the story here. This is interesting stuff. And it gets crazier. He's just laying out the groundwork. He wants you to have all the details. Marvelous, magnificent, magnanimous, wonderful, amazing Matthew Vickers. Wants you to have all the deets. Wants you to know the truth about the snake, the lecherous Ethan Ralph. And we're getting all that tea, all of it. Now, Friday, August 7th. Mrs. V and I board our flights from California with a short layover in Dallas. And that's where we hit our first hiccup. Suddenly, while communicating with Faith, we notice her tracking is turned off. After she makes up a bullshit story about her phone, showed us it was fine. And she was trying to reset her phone. Her explanation was that her new friend, May, was taking her out on the town to help her deal with the breakup. Mrs. V is suspicious and wants to talk to her on the phone. More bullshit about how she has to wait for May to pull over because May cannot drive if Faith is on the phone. WTF? Question mark. So obviously, this is all lies. I tell Faith that we know she is lying and just to come clean. She says that she's taking an Uber to Ralph's to grab some stuff she forgot to grab. So there's already more lies before our plane even lands in Virginia. Neither Mrs. V or I are pleased. We land in Richmond and we take fucking forever to get our rental. And we get to the hotel about 6:30, 7 p.m. We let Faith know that we've arrived, but lo and behold, she's simply just too tired to see us. Really? Too tired to come up the elevator 2 floors or for us to go down 2 floors just to say hi or thanks for coming? Whatever. We're tired too, so we say fuck it, turn in for the night, and make plans to leave in the morning. I understand giving your daughter space, I do, but I think if I would have flown across country, I would have been like, girl, I'm fucking seeing you. Like, now. Because you know she wasn't there. I think at this point it's pretty clear she wasn't there. Now, August 8th, Saturday, Operation GTFO of Richmond commences. Faith takes forever to get ready, not leaving her room until several minutes after checkout. Hugs all around, but I notice Faith's face when hugging her mother is void of any emotion, despite her mother being streaked with tears. I write this off as she is understandably uncomfortable after the many truth lies that came out between July 12th and July 30th. On Faith's recommendation, we have lunch at the Founding Fathers. She chose well. By nature, I'm a jovial fellow, and as such, by the time we're on the road for a few minutes, some well-placed gunt jokes and making a big deal about getting a soda from Hardee's, the East Coast equivalent of Carl's Jr., has everyone in a pretty good mood, and we're reconnecting. Mind you, I in particular am trying really hard, because I spent July 12th through 30th learning that this girl had been telling everyone she thought that I'd never meet that I was physically abusive to her all her life. The length and severity of the abuse changed from person to person. And that's going to fuck with anyone. I don't care who you are. That's going to fuck with anyone. Now we check into the Trump Hotel. It's magnificent with spectacular customer service, and we have a great time. With not much time to go out or do anything, we decide to order some room service, watch some TV, and get an early start on Sunday. Sunday, August 9th, we got up, got out, and knocked some stuff off our mutual bucket lists. Washington Monument, WW2 Memorial, Reflecting Pool, Lincoln Memorial, just before Lincoln got slammed with a sudden rainstorm, and we were completely soaked, but in a fun way. We bought some umbrellas at the Lincoln Memorial gift shop, and they worked. As soon as we had them, though, the rain stopped. On the way back to the hotel, Faith asked if she could have dinner with her friends May and Gray. Yes, I now know who they are, because supposedly it's Gray's birthday. My red flag bullshit meter starts going crazy because, of course, I've been monitoring the Kiwi Farms boards, and I have it on pretty good authority that Ralph will be at this dinner. I explain this to Faith, and she immediately drops the idea and says, fuck no, I don't want to go if he's going to be there. This does nothing to silence my red flags bullshit monitor. Something's up, and Mrs. V and I know that there is something Faith is not telling us. Unfortunately, Mrs. V slips in the tub at the hotel getting ready for dinner. She can't go, so Faith and I figure that some father-daughter time is probably a good idea. I like almost everything about this restaurant. Low lighting, great atmosphere, and a bunch of animal head trophies on the wall. I make a passing reference to how the restaurant was exactly how I planned to decorate my Gunt dungeon. But I would put his head right on the to the right of the elk and his Gunt on the left, because the Gunt deserves its own trophy space. Oh my God. Faith seems a little irritated by my musings. I'm admittedly not the funniest guy in the world, but I expected that joke to land. Okay, the dad murdering loser ex-boyfriend jokes had probably run their course. I could rent a room, so I backed off, and the rest of the dinner went swimmingly. Back to the hotel, and we all went to sleep. Since July 9th, I have not slept well, so I was up monitoring the Kiwi Farm boards, seeing if I could get more insight. And that's when I saw the posts that Ralph said she would be back with him by Monday at 4 p.m. Well, that's not good. So I slept with one eye open for most of that night. Again, watching over his daughter like a good father. August 10th, Monday. I got up early. If I slept at all, I honestly don't remember. And I told Mrs. V that I was worried Faith was planning to find ways to get back to Virginia. Mrs. V had the same feeling of doom. So game time. Like a sly, fat, white ninja, I slipped Faith's phone from her hand. Yes, she fucking sleeps with the phone clutched in her goddamn hand. While she was sleeping, and managed to get her laptop away as well. Once I had them both, I locked them in the hotel safe. Naturally, when Faith awoke, she didn't say anything at first, but she started searching the hotel like she was missing her heart medication. Eventually, I told her what I had done, and Mrs. V and I told her that we thought it'd be nice to do a trucks exercise to see if she could go 24 hours disconnected. Just one day. I mean, obviously we are leaving Tuesday, so our goal here should seem clear. Faith did not like this one bit. So I gave her a notebook and asked her to write every major catastrophe that would happen in 24 hours if she didn't have her devices. I'll share that list on the privileged information part of this site later. While she was writing down her ridiculous list, I emailed Ralph and told him that I appreciated that he was going to mail back the items that Faith did not have the opportunity to grab, and that I wanted to find a way to send him the money for shipping. I stared at Faith while I was typing this and read aloud what I was typing. The look on her face pretty much told me that she was going to come back. Ralph responded quickly, very confused, confessing that he'd been under the assumption that Faith was coming back. That led to a meltdown of discovery and lies so unbelievable that it deserves its own section, which I will include elsewhere in this site. For the sake of brevity here, let's just say that Faith was telling Ralph since day one that she was returning to him. She was telling us the whole time that she was coming back with us. Someone was getting grifted, and neither of us really knew who it was. Honestly, that is fucking so true. That is so, 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 so true. I mean, it really, really, really is. You know, it's fucking hysterical, guys. Like, Jesus Christ. You guys have no fucking idea. Like, this is going to get weird. I'm sure many of you actually know, but my God, it's going to get fucking, fucking weird. Okay. Faith Heartworm here says, it's the key to all this. Oh, the Disney suitcase is the key. Yeah, I agree that the Disney. Yeah, we need justice for the suitcase. That's 100%. Yeah. We really need that. We really need that suitcase back, guys. We're going to have to fight to get that back. So, many things were said, but what ultimately happened was a classic go-to Faith card when she wants attention, wants to create a false persona, or wants to get out of consequences. She threatened self-harm and said that she felt like killing herself. Personally, I called bullshit in my head, but I kept my mouth shut. I knew that Mrs. V was also calling her bullshit in her head, but we don't fuck around when it comes to shit like this. So Mrs. V said, Well, then you need to go to a hospital right now for a psych evaluation. Is that what you want to do? Faith nodded her sad, weepy head, and we took her to George Washington University Hospital. I dropped Faith and Mrs. V at the emergency room, and I found a parking garage. After getting lost slash trapped in a stairwell, of all things, for 30 minutes and feeling quite the fool, I finally tasted sweet freedom and found my way back to the hospital where I met Mrs. V outside. Mrs. V used to work at admissions at an emergency room, so she knew that waiting on an initial psych evaluation would take a while. So we set out on foot to find a place to have lunch. Less than an hour into being at the hospital, Ralph reached out to me because Faith had called him. We went back and forth, and it was cordial, but he confessed serious doubts about their relationship and that it had started with lies. By now, Faith had told Ralph the truth that she did not come from an abusive home, and Chris had started leaking his stuff, so Ralph was starting to get a pretty look at a real picture. And the rest of us were going to get a real look at another picture not long after. Anyway, we went back and forth with myself and Mrs. V essentially pleading with Ralph to take us, to let us take her home and get her help, because she was obviously very sick, just not in the way she'd presented to others, depression, anxiety, self-harm, suicidal ideations. Ralph seemed to agree, but was so caught up in the emotional sunken cost fallacy that he said he would take her back if she asked him. Mrs. V and I made it clear to him, as we made it very clear to Faith just before we took her to the hospital, that she should decide to go back with Ralph, especially after summoning us across the country like willing fools on a false rescue mission, that the consequences would be severe. She would be disowned. She would have no more contact with her brothers. She would receive no inheritance, especially if we were overrun and murdered by gun guards. That's funny. You think they have money. There would be no more contact if Faith chose to be not part of our family, and in fact abuse our family. She would be treated as any other adult who had done these things that she had done. What would I do to another adult that spread lies that I was an abuser? There's no real follow-up on that one. He just ends it with a question mark. Further, Faith certainly would not be covered by our insurance. Even if we wanted to, it would be out of our control, because she would no longer be our dependent, not enrolled in school in Virginia full-time. That means that the claim from the hospital would be rejected. This we explained to Ralph because Faith refused to return our calls while she was in the hospital. So that's going to be a big-ass bill that hits her when our insurance rejects the claim. By the time we were done with our back and forth with Ralph, we found ourselves only a few blocks from our hotel. So we took a nap and waited for a call from the hospital. Hearing nothing by that evening, I went back to grab the rental out of the haunted Hellraiser maze of a parking garage. We got some dinner and decided to extend our stay by 3 days, but we moved from the Trump Hotel to the Embassy Suites by the Convention Center at a 4-to-1 night cost ratio. Yeah, you save some serious money by not going to Trump Hotel. Ralph communicated with me throughout the night and becoming more and more concerned with what he was seeing from Chris, which prompted my Chris is worse than Ralph text, because I was still under the impression that Chris was a psycho stalker harasser. I was unaware of how that night would end. Mr. Vickers, sir, I don't know if you're listening to this right now or whatever, but I'm just going to be honest with you, dude. None of us thought that night would end that way. It's one of those things where you kind of become bonded by blood, you know, bonded by tragedy. You see, you're part of a terrible accident and you kind of have that survivor's guilt. Like, why did I survive this? Why couldn't I have died and not had to live with this pain anymore? It's a lot of what's happening here. I mean, you way worse than the rest of us, unfortunately. And I am very sympathetic and empathetic. But I mean, like, we've all seen some shit. We're all going to have that 1,000-yard stare now. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad. We need to really save that Disney suitcase, though. All right, so Tuesday, August 11th, I woke to some pretty horrific shit that slammed my Twitter account and my email. Should I find those who thought it was necessary to send me those links as a funny joke? Faces will be broken, but I suspect that I'll never have the pleasure. A quick analysis of a still image to compare the room with pictures of Ralph's shack on Zillow confirmed the authenticity of the video, so I mercifully didn't have to watch it. Yeah, you're a lucky bastard. I immediately texted Ralph, asking him how the hell this happened, to which he responded with a quick, I don't know, maybe my phone was hacked. Does anyone believe that? Press one in the chat if you think that's bullshit. I think it's all going to be ones, hundreds of ones, thousands of ones. One of my friends who had been helping me monitor Kiwi Farms had already gathered the most pertinent information. And before long, I had enough evidence to see that Ralph obviously leaked the revenge porn of my daughter. And also he could look like a big man to Chris. And possibly, if not probably, was pissed at Faith for her own part in the deception. For fuck's sake. Originally intending to keep this fucking horror show from Mrs. V as long as possible, I figured what's the point and woke her up to tell her what was going on. Needless to say, she was not pleased. We checked out of the Trump Hotel and went straight to the embassy suites where we were able to check in early. While checking in, Mrs. V got a call from the hospital, reported the revenge porn to them, and learned that they wanted to have a family meeting scheduled for the next day. By now, Ralph was agreeing that continuing a relationship was a bad idea for his career. And he had sent me a text confirming that he would break it off and convince her to go home with us. Reports from Ralph confirmed that she is calling him constantly, absolutely refusing to come home with us and begging to go back with him. This was after she had learned about the revenge porn. We accept this as truth, and it was because she was not returning our calls. Now, on August 12th, Wednesday, doctors called and told us that the family meeting would not be happening because Faith refused to speak with us. They are not going to release her. She continues to call Ralph at every available opportunity, and by now, he's confessing to being afraid of what she'll do to him regarding the video if he doesn't cave to her every whim. We are scheduled to fly out on Friday. Figuring that they would not hold her past Thursday, we figured that it's over. Despondent, we order some DoorDash and try to relax. Can confirm I did not deliver that order, also because I'm across the country. It was then that my primary communication with Chris began, or the day before, but it's all kind of a blur, where I learned that Chris was not the psycho stalker that I was led to believe, just a young man screwed up for many more reasons, and very guilty of a crime. Whether or not Faith at 16 had the same problems to the same degree as 18-year-old Faith, I'll probably never know. But she was still 16 and he was still 21, and as for the narrative that he's pinching, that she forced him into an uncomfortable situation, to quote Joe Biden, come on, man. He sent her images too. He admitted, much too easily, to me in writing that he had committed these crimes. Thus, he is guilty of those crimes. He also admitted it here on this podcast, which, oof. Now, on August 13th, we get a call from the docs. Faith had an appointment, apparent change of heart, and she will now do the family meeting. So, sorry, I lost my place here. She'll do something. Okay. This meeting will be conducted over the phone. Thanks, COVID. And is scheduled for Friday, the same day we are supposed to fly out. So we extend our trip by an additional 3 days. By now, I have ceased communications with both Ralph and Chris. Friday the 14th, 11 a.m., family meeting. Attending doc is good. He gives Mrs. V and I a chance to speak and then a chance for Faith to respond and vice versa. He's trying to pinch her a simple truth. Faith claims that she wants to get better In California, there's health insurance, additional resources, a large network of stable family and friends. She can continue her relationship long distance with Ralph if her new therapist approves. But if she is interested in getting healthy, the way of California makes more sense. The way of Virginia, there's no health insurance, significantly reduced network of friends, and zero family. Faith has no skills to get a job that will provide health insurance, especially not in this COVID-19 job market. Ralph is a felon who will have an even harder time finding a job that will provide insurance, and it is highly dubious that his income level will pay for a private plan. Ours costs $2,650 per month, though granted we have way more dependents. Yes, it would be cheaper in most circumstances to just pay cash for everything, but here's the gimmick. Mrs. V has chronic illnesses that require a great deal of attention and lab testing. The local labs won't even schedule an appointment if you don't have an insurance plan. The point is, California is a good plan for a healthy Faith. Virginia is a bad plan for a healthy Faith. This just went in one ear and out the other. Faith adamantly refused to return to California because it was, quote, too toxic. And God bless the doctor. He had the insight to ask her what toxic means. I could almost see the look on her face over the phone as she thought to herself, oh, fuck, how am I going to explain this? Her answer was something along the lines of, I'm just going to get depressed again and stay in my room all day. Of course, the doctor pointed out that Mrs. V and myself had a great deal of new information now, and the whole reason that we wanted her back in California was the sole purpose of getting her help. Faith still refused, and the doctor basically told her that he would not discharge her until she could give him an adequate game plan for dealing with her mental health. He doesn't discharge anyone on the weekend anyway, so she would have to stay until Monday at the earliest, and we could all check in then. It was also mentioned to Faith by the doctor that her dream of being a teacher was all but ruined now that Faith had leaked the sex video. We'd all seen what happened to teachers if a sex tape of them gets discovered. Faith admits to consenting to the video being made, but specifically says that she did not consent to the tape being leaked. She says that she believes Ralph's story of a hacked phone. Even the doctors explain that, while possible, it is highly improbable. So as we were scheduled to leave on Monday, we extended our trip by one more day so that we wouldn't miss a potential opportunity to hopefully bring Faith home. Though our hope by now had all but completely waned as that she would see reason. The resident doc who we'd been speaking with called us back to explain that they were going to try their best to convince her, but Faith was able to sign an AMA against medical advice form and leave if she wanted. But that even if she did, it would be 48 hours before she could be released. However, the doctor also stated that they were conveniently not mentioning that piece of information and assumed Faith did not know about the AMA form, as she had been quite anxious to leave the hospital and return to Virginia for days. The greatest part of this story is that the doctors were all reasonable people who understood the situation and knew quite clearly that abusive and toxic parents don't fly across the country to rescue their daughter. August 15th, Saturday. Spent most of the day updating the family on the situation. Not a lot of fun. August 16th, Sunday. Mrs. V and I said, fuck it, because we're tired of sitting around the hotel all day, and we went to George Washington's Mount Vernon. It is a spectacular destination and highly recommend that you visit if you have the opportunity. Had a chance to get some kids the souvenirs and some thank you gifts for grandmas for helping out while we were gone for more than twice as long as we'd planned. Had a great dinner, and despite the madness, a rare opportunity to push reality aside, if only for a few hours. August 17th, Monday. Doc's called. Faith signed out AMA. Doc almost in tears. Wishes more than she could tell us, but probably shouldn't even be telling us that, but she wanted us to know. Mrs. V completely bummed, as am I. The battle was officially lost. Summer had been stolen from the other children. Vacation funds had been drastically reduced. It had been a total shit show. Tuesday, August 18th. The last day. Fly back to California. Plan for war. Faith still needs help, but she doesn't think so, obviously. Ralph knows Faith needs help, but is too afraid of her deep down. He's a 15-year-old boy who doesn't know better than to not drink himself stupid and make awful decisions. Faith is not a good person. That much is true now. She didn't go for the kill. She went for the pain. Ethan Ralph committed a crime. He released a pornographic video without the consent of the other person in that video. Even if he thinks this is defamation, come at me, bro. I would love a civil suit where my attorney can cross-examine you on the details of how you did not commit the crime. My invitation to you is to take me on and clear your name. But we both know how that will end. After 6 weeks of struggling with our faith, Mrs. V and I lost our faith. Always end with a pun.